I like being comfortable. We all like being comfortable. But sometimes you need to be uncomfortable so you can be comfortable. He has to disrupt your plans and your ways and your predictable ways, you know, and the things that we, well, when I come to church, we're going to do this, 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 and then we're going to go home. Not if God has a say in it. It's going to be His way. We need to stay fresh in the Lord. He has fresh oil, fresh wine every day for us. He has a fresh word, fresh manna, amen, from heaven every day for us. When we eat and drink of Him, we are refreshed in Him. When we stay filled in the Holy Spirit, filled up, then it's easy for us to understand what God is doing.
Right.
If we just sit around and talk about what happened 40, 50 years ago, or even 20 years ago, folks, come on, we can get caught up in the sweet memories, precious memories, how they linger, and miss out what God is doing now.
That's right.
And I'm determined as a minister that I'm not going to get stuck in what ways were, but what God is doing now. I don't want to get stuck in what I used to be, you know, accustomed to, and the way that we did it, and the way how wonderful those some of those songs, they bring back memories. Thank God for those songs. But we need to step out of what was to get into what is. And it's not always easy. Those who, you know, have drunk the old wine immediately don't desire the new, because they say the old is better. And Jesus, of course, was speaking to the religious leaders and the Pharisees of that time, who, you know, they had it all figured out. Everything was, you know, A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is how it goes. This is how it is. And Jesus came up and messed everything up for them. People started following Jesus. They got upset. Everybody's going after this guy. We're losing our glory. He's stealing our thunder. He's raining on our parade. How is it that everybody goes after Jesus now? The blind eyes are open, the deaf ears hear, the lame man walks. Amen. The kingdom is being preached. The kingdom is at hand. It's among you now, because the King is there. And He sent His Holy Spirit, and the kingdom is here.
Yes, is.
Now among you, because the Spirit of God is here.
Hallelujah.
So heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, declare the kingdom,
amen.
The message of the King. Amen.
Yes.
And so we've got to step out of what was to get into what is. I'm not talking about changing the Word of God, watering down the Word of God. The Word is forever settled in heaven. Are you following me?
Yes.
We don't compromise the anointing. But I want to tell you, folks, that sometimes we actually compromise the anointing by trying to live in the past.
That's right.
Churches die because they try to live out of what was. Because at one time it was fresh, it was what God was doing, but God is doing it a different way, or He's moved on, He's doing something else. And if we try to live out of what was, you will miss what is.
Amen.
And we want to be fresh. And we don't want to miss what God is doing. So we've got to be a people of prayer. Isn't that right? We've got to be a people of prayer. We've got to stay fresh in the Holy Spirit. And then you'll find people that really are fresh in the Holy Spirit. They have less trouble being flexible to what God is doing. It amazed me when we'd go to the Spiritual Hunger Conference in Spokane, and I don't know, 50, 60% had gray hair there. And they had these young, I don't know, in their 20s, kids just rocking out there. But, you know, they weren't just making noise. I'm telling you, they were connecting with heaven. We're connecting with heaven here. But we've got to get over some things sometimes in order to realize what God is doing and say, hey, I'm missing it. Well, I'm having a problem with what is happening now because that's just not the way I do it. Or I'm used to doing it. And I want to speak to the young people here too, because the same thing happens to young people. The same thing can happen to us. Amen? I say us. I don't know how young I am anymore, but I just thought I'd throw myself in that category. Maybe I'm young at heart. But in 5 years from now, you know, are we going to be doing the same thing, singing the same songs, you know? I believe that if we're really following God, it's not going to look like it is today from in 5 years. Because God is on the move. We are a pilgrim people. We are to be on the move. And if we try to stay in the camp when God is moving, guess what? You get left behind. You miss out. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven, but I want to say you may be going empty-handed. I want to be where the fruit is. And the fruit is where Jesus is. So we need to find out what Jesus is doing and how he's doing it and get with that. It doesn't matter. You know, God wants to bring the generations together. We need to have respect for the older generation. Would you agree? We need to honor those folks that are older than us. But folks, I want to say we have to also honor our children too. And we have to respect our children. But God wants to bring the generations together in one. And if we all understand our roles, we have grandma roles, we have grandpa roles, we have mother and father roles, even to the younger with among us. Amen? And they look up to us as moms and dads, as, you know, grandmas and grandpas. But we need to stay flexible in the spirit. How many of you understand what I'm saying today?
Yes.
Many of us look at where we are presently and we base our future upon what we see right now. Well, we've accepted an identity that God has not given us. And we look at our imperfect state. If we're all honest, we can admit we all have imperfections. We're being made holy, amen. We're being sanctified by the Lord. And so we look at our present condition, our situation now, and sometimes we base our future on what we're seeing right now. And we just feel like I'm insignificant. I'm a nobody. What difference can I make? I wish I was like so-and-so, who is just so successful or so popular or so wealthy or so good-looking. I just wish I was like somebody else. I wish I wasn't me. No, nobody's ever thought that way before, but it happens. It's happened at least once in history. No, we're not supposed to think that way. We need to be thankful for who God made us to be. But we cannot base our future on what we're seeing right now. And if we just focus and dwell on who we are now, and if we even get to the place where we become content where we are right now in our walk, then you're not going to go forward. You're hindering what God wants to accomplish. We walk by faith. We don't sit by faith. We walk by faith. There's a difference. We don't sit sour and soak. Amen? There's a time to soak, but when you get to soaking, you go and soak somebody else. You walk it out. You live it out. Little can be much if God is in it. How many have heard that? And so little can be much. Our salvation was the result of one seed that was planted. Jesus, the Word, became flesh. The Word became a man. God, the Word, the eternal God in the beginning, the Word became a man. He became the seed that would be given up for us, that would be planted, if you will, in the ground. He was crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day, there was a resurrection, folks. There was a springing forth of life, eternal resurrection life. He's alive. It began with a seed, and a ragtag bunch of 12 disciples. That most of society said, these are ignorant and unlearned fishermen. And yet they took note of them because they had been with Jesus. Something happens to ordinary people when they hang out with He who is all right. Extraordinary. God wants to do the extraordinary through the ordinary. It's not who's the greatest, who's first, who's got the most toys, who's got the most money, who's the most popular. It's a vessel that has yielded itself to God's purpose. And God does extraordinary things with ordinary people so that the glory, amen, may come to God. People will say, hey, isn't this the carpenter's son? But look what he's doing. Well, they didn't know who he was. In the natural, he was a carpenter's son. Amen? But he was God incarnate. But when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, we're still the carpenter's son in a sense, right? Whoever we were growing up or whoever, whatever our occupation is in this world, that doesn't always change. We just become the salt and the light in that place. And they begin to see that, wow, isn't that Keith? You know? It's amazing. Is this the same person? Don't even look the same. And God gets glory because I can say, let me tell you what God has done for me. And when they see you and I, just ordinary people, you know, stepping out for God, stepping out in faith, speaking words of life, they say, wow, this is more than a natural word here. There's power in that speech. There's power in those words. When they see you and I praying for the sick, when they see the supernatural invade the natural, they see somebody healed supernaturally by God, they're saying, isn't that the carpenter's son? It's not about the vessel. It's about the God of the vessel. And so don't think that you're insignificant. Don't think that you're small. Everything begins with a seed. When you and I were conceived, folks, come on. Before they had microscopes, there was no way to even see it. The seed was so small. Yet there was power in that seed. There was life in that seed. There was potential in that seed. But that seed had to be sown. Jesus, eternal God, amen, took on humanity, became the seed. The shell, the outer shell, died, was crucified, amen. But the life, the Christ, rose again on the third day. Amen. And He is a life-giving Spirit, and He sent His Spirit to you and I, the church, that we might be possessed by the power of God and be a witness and to demonstrate that Jesus is alive. Bear witness to the resurrection. Just average Joes and Janes doing extraordinary things because we have an awesome supernatural God in us. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. He separated you for His purposes. He's called. We are called out ones. We are the church. We've been called out. Like He called His disciples, we've been called out. Foundation of 12 began to spread the gospel message throughout all the region and in the upper room, the 120 there from different nations throughout that whole area came and were filled with the Holy Spirit, and He took that same Holy Spirit back with them into their regions, and the gospel was spread, and the witness began to spread throughout all that region. The world had been under Roman government at that time, remember? God strategically came at a time when the world at that time was all together under one huge government for the purpose of the gospel reaching out. So don't think that I'm just insignificant. I can't do much. What can I do? In Mark chapter 4 and verse 30, Jesus said, Mark chapter 4, verse 30, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Folks, I believe this is speaking of the church. But it began with the seed of Jesus laying down his life for us. And 12 ragtag disciples who decided that they're going to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. Yes. It's worth the cost, folks. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to take up our cross? Yes. Are we willing to deny ourselves to do so? Are we willing to follow Jesus? Are we willing to go wherever He sends us? Are we willing to say what He tells us to say? Are we willing to do what He says to do? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where Jesus laid it down. If any man will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. God didn't call us to play church. He called us to advance the kingdom by declaring the word of the Lord, by healing the sick, amen, taking authority over demons, casting them out in His name, cleansing lepers and raising the dead even, bearing witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He is alive. He is risen indeed. Jesus sowed His life on our behalf, and He brought life and immortality to multitudes. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now the Jewish and Roman rulers thought that they could, if they could discard God's seed, they could stop the spread of the gospel. And so the devil thought that by getting rid of Jesus, he could keep his death grip on humanity. But the very opposite occurred instead. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7 it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Say, my glory. My glory. Verse 8, which none of the rulers, Jewish and Roman leaders of this age, knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Many of them were blind to who Jesus was. They thought He was just a nuisance, that He was just a radical that was stirring up trouble. They had their eyes were blinded to the fact that He was the Messiah, the one that had been prophesied to come. There's also the other thought that the devil didn't really understand either. He did, but if he had known the process by which God would bring redemption, that is through death, that he wouldn't have also had him crucified. But because God's plan is eternal, and God's word cannot change, and God said that the seed of the woman would what? Crush the head of the serpent. It was talking about the day when Christ would come. God became a man, born of a virgin, the seed of the woman, would crush the head of the serpent, the devil. And when Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven, He was saying, I come to declare to you that the kingdom is at hand. You and I have been given authority in Jesus' name, amen, to spoil also the works of the enemy.
Amen.
To destroy the works of the enemy. He wants you to be coward. He wants to back you up into the corner. He wants to shut you down and shut you up. He doesn't want you to believe in who you are as a believer in Christ. He doesn't want you to believe that you've been given that kind of authority. Because if you believe that, you're going to do something about it. We have unbelieving believers. They say they believe, but practically they're atheists because they don't do anything with it. Ouch. Do you understand, folks? We need to know who we are, and we need to take confidence in our God who has placed His seed in us. He's placed His Spirit in us. And there's a life-giving Spirit on the inside of you that God wants to release out of you to touch multitudes for Christ. We just need to step out of the boat and get up on the water with Jesus and say, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? What's your method of doing it?
Yep.
That's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
What I see you do, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. Where I see you go, that's where I'm going to follow. What I hear you speak, that's what I'm going to speak. And when we align ourselves with Him who is eternal, there is an impact. Amen. Heaven invades earth. Hallelujah. The church began with small beginnings. Again, the 12 were just an insignificant bunch, folks. You know, Jesus did choose some tax collectors, you know, but they were, you know, kind of like the offscouring of the society. Nobody liked them because they usually, you know, stole money from them. But God chose people that were just kind of like the average people of the day. He didn't go after the governors and the leaders. He went after average people. Jesus didn't come as a reigning king the first time. He became a man. Amen? A carpenter's son. A humble servant. So that the power of God would be demonstrated and manifested. And they would know that no man ever spoke like this man. God must be with him. No one can raise anyone from the dead as he rose Lazarus. No one, amen, could cast demons out like that. With a word, he sent them on their way. God had showed up. And God has commissioned you and I to observe the same things that he taught his disciples. Amen? That is to go in his name. And to bear fruit. We want to populate heaven. Amen? With souls of people. And don't ever underestimate God's ability to do the extraordinary through the ordinary. I like that. Remember, we were all at one time just a little tiny embryo. But now look how big you are. Everybody has been given seed. Do you realize that you have seed? God has given you seed in Christ. You have seed. You know, it's a shame that so many Christians put the seed on the shelf. It just sits on the shelf. We got to get the seed off the shelf. We need to start sowing. We need to get busy and sowing in the Holy Spirit. If you want to see a chain reaction in the Spirit, you want to see people's lives change, you want to see the kingdom come, amen, and the will of God be done, you got to start sowing. You got to get out of the boat and onto the water in faith, trust God that what He's put in your hands is insignificant, as little as it may seem, it's mighty if God put it there. There is potential in that little seed to become the greatest of all. God's word will not return void. God's word is a seed that will transform hearts and lives. Heal marriages, amen? Heal the sick. Drive demons out. God's word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We've been given the seed of the word of God to speak truth, to bring light into the darkness. Once the light comes, the darkness has no place to hide. We've all been given seed. But listen, if you don't believe in your seed, you won't sow it. We think even about ourselves that we're so insignificant, that what can I actually accomplish of any, you know, eternal value? And you know what? If you don't start understanding that whatever God put in your hand has potential to effect change, has potential to change hearts and lives. If you don't believe in your seed, you're not going to sow it. But if you would believe that God has given you something that has eternal significance, that can make an eternal impact, and you start to sow who you are, your life, your talents, your ability, the knowledge, the wisdom, the encouragement, the comfort that you receive. These things you sow into others. You sow in the Holy Spirit. You begin to sow in prayer. You begin to sow praise into the heavens. You seed the heavens. Hallelujah. And whatever you sow in the Holy Spirit, you will not lose. God's word will accomplish what it was set out to do. So don't think that I'm insignificant. God did extraordinary things through ordinary people, and He's still doing it today. So if you feel like you're just an ordinary person, that's a good thing. Because the proud He can't use, you see. And sometimes we have to be humbled before we can be in position to be used. This mustard seed illustrates the potential of those who feel that they are the least of all things. How many remember the example of Moses? God said, Moses, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. He's looking at a stick. Well, what he had in his hand had great potential. It might have seemed like an insignificant stick, but God was going to use something that he placed in his hand that was seemingly insignificant to do some mighty things. That stick became a sign and a wonder, folks. With that stick, he changed that man. He cast it down and it changed into a serpent. Remember? And even though Pharaoh's magicians came out with their tricks and they cast down their sticks and they turned into serpents, what happened? Moses' serpent ate theirs up. God was saying that my authority is greater than the devil. Amen? You don't have to fear the devil. He parts the Red Sea with that stick, raised the rod. He brought forth water from the rock with that rod. Doing the will of God, folks, is not from jumping from first base to home base. It's being responsible in the right now with what you have in your hand. It's the seed that's in your hand. Start sowing, start giving, start serving the Lord with what you have. Be faithful in little and He'll make you ruler of much. Samson slays 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. I changed the word there. David slew Goliath with a sling and a stone. Just a little boy. But his God was behind him. He was backing him. Little is much when God's in it. Elijah fed the widow and himself with a handful of meal and a little oil. She was getting ready to die. Have their last meal together. The man of God shows up. What do you have? She says, all I got is a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. We're going to bake a cake and we're going to die. He said, bake me a cake. Sow it. Trust God with what you have. There are people who have had almost nothing left. And God has said, I want you to sow what you have. There are people who have sowed everything they've had only to find out that God has richly rewarded them way beyond what they ever imagined because they believed God. Because they were faithful to God. What is it you have in your hand? The widow woman could have said, all I got is two mites here. You know? What good is that going to do? But she didn't. She had faith. And she took the two mites and she cast it in to the treasury. And Jesus said, pay attention to what she just did. You gave out of your abundance. She gave out of her poverty. How many know that God was going to honor that seed? God is going to honor what you do with your life, folks. With all that you've been given in Christ, the gifts, the talents. There are many of us here today that God has got spiritual gifts in you that He wants to bring out. He wants them to be manifested so that the glory of God may be revealed to an unbelieving world. How many know that signs are for sign? Signs are for the unbeliever, folks. A sign points to something. A sign points to the fact that Jesus is alive. And you've been given gifts in the Spirit that God wants to activate and release through you. And you need to take the step of faith and say, This is kind of scary, but I believe God's speaking very strongly to me, and I'm going to step out. I'm going to be obedient to the little assignment that God gave me. Isn't it true? We all want the big thing. We all want the big assignment, but God is testing us in the little thing. He's testing us to be faithful in the little assignment first. If you prove yourself faithful and just praying, spending time with God, amen, getting into the Word, going to church, blessing your neighbor, blessing people, amen, just doing some of the basic things that God asks us to do. Because, folks, let's face it, you know, if we just think we can just sit at home and do our own thing, you know, you're putting your seat on the shelf. When you come together with the body of Christ, you've got a revelation, you've got a word, you've got something, amen, that you can give, you can share, you can bless somebody with. What are we doing with our seed? Is it sitting on the shelf, or are we going to start sowing it? We need to start sowing. Look for opportunities. Do you know there are people everywhere around us that are just waiting to receive what you have to give? They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're searching for truth. They're searching for answers. What are we doing? 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What we have, folks, has great potential to affect change. We serve a mighty God, an awesome God. We've got to stretch out, amen, of the small thinking, of the insignificant thinking, that who am I thinking? Well, God says you're His child. You're His son. You're His daughter. You're my property. I'm going to be with you no matter what. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And if I send you and put you out on assignment to run to the store and buy a quart of milk or whatever it might be, you go talk to a neighbor maybe. But God gives you an assignment if you're faithful to do what He tells you to do.
Amen.
He will increase responsibility, but with a responsibility comes greater blessing. Yeah. There are people in your circle of influence that God wants to touch. And He wants to touch through you. You just need to say, Lord, show me. What do you want me to do? Do I need to say anything, or do I need to pray for this person? Wait on God, but listen and keep your antennas up. Amen.
Yes.
Tune into Heaven Station, so that you can hear from God clearly. And when He says go, you go. When He says do, you do. When He says be quiet, that's a cue from you, for me today. You say amen. I'm going to finish with this. Most of us are very familiar with this passage, but I just feel like it fits. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh, the sin nature, will of the sin nature reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, Holy Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Well, I taught the class, and I only had one student, and they didn't seem to be very interested in what I had to say. So we throw in the towel, we get discouraged, we walk away, and we underestimate the potential of the seed that was sown in that child. How many know that it takes endurance? It takes patience when you're working with people. Amen? Keep sowing the seed. Keep watering it. Keep praying for that person. Keep encouraging that person. Don't give up on them. Because in due season, you will reap if you don't lose heart, if you don't faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. Okay, how many are ready to start casting some seed? Amen. Some of you are already doing it. If you're not doing it, it's time you start doing it. Because you don't know what's going to grow. You don't see that seed when it's buried under the soil. But there's something going on there. There's a seed in the hearts of people that you've already spoken into, that you're not seeing any immediate fruit. But the time comes when that seed that is in the invisible parts, amen, begins to get germinated by others who come along and water and speak, or even sometimes you continuing to speak and to pray. And the day comes when that thing sprouts and it begins to spring up. Life begins to result. Transformation begins to take place until the place comes where they begin to bear fruit. Hallelujah. God bless you. Would you all stand? Hallelujah. That was my cue. Baby said, I've had enough.